Welcome to the Fuller Market Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 20th of May, recording at 9:17 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes, but first let's have a quick review of the week. In terms of stock markets, it's really been the story of more ranging and a little bit of drifting. Slightly weaker in terms of the Western markets, slightly weaker at the beginning of the week, then rallying on Wednesday and Thursday, a bit of weakness in here today. And today we had only small changes in the Asian markets. But the European markets have mostly sold off here today. DAX, for example, is down 1.25%. Wall Street closed near the lows of the day, down over 10 points, or 0.77% for the S&P 500 index. Against that background, long-dated government bond prices, well, they've actually been steady here today, but the action's been a little bit choppy. We've seen some loss of momentum here, certainly for the U.S. Treasuries recently. And in terms of currencies, the dollar has been a little bit steadier here for another week. The euro has been particularly weak, but we have not had a huge amount of activity in the foreign exchange markets over the last week. Precious metals, it's seen a loss of downward momentum, and some steadying, particularly by gold. And gold had a very good day today. It's up $20 at $15.13. And change as I speak. Crude oil, quiet, hovering just below, $99.50 for the WTI, just over $112 for the Brent, and it's been there most of the week within a narrow range. Industrial metals, a little bit of slippage, except for copper. Copper being a notable difference, firmer. Back above the $4 level and up to $4.10.55. The grain and bean complex has been quite strong, very strong, in fact. And there's some more gains today, modest gains today, although wheat is down just a tad. And I think that's pretty much it in terms of the highlights. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, as far as stock markets are concerned, if you've been listening to these audios, it'll be a familiar story to you. I feel we're in a ranging corrective phase. It's quite choppy. It does leave markets susceptible to some additional mean reversion where they have previously been overextended relative to the rising 200-day moving averages. Now, there are other markets which have been range-bound for a very, very long time, and they show no evidence of breaking out of those ranges overall. So, after the very strong recovery year of 2009, followed by 2010, we've really got, I've said it, it's primarily a choppy, ranging market environment. And I don't think that's going to change dramatically anytime soon. But if it did, I think the change would more likely than not be to the downside in a somewhat sharper correction during this period, which is often characterized by seasonal underperformance. And it's not that markets are shy of things to worry about. The main one, I feel, was the spike in commodity prices, as I've said all along, particularly the moderate spike in crude oil prices. And that always slows GDP growth, and it's not hard to appreciate why. And it's no different this time around. And so stock markets have gone from feeding on the really good earnings quarters that we've seen, where earnings are reported quarterly. But you know what I mean. Earnings have been, for most companies, have recovered very substantially over the last couple of years. And that continued into this year with first quarter earnings, not least for a number of Fulmini themes, including the big multinational companies leveraged to the global economy. But we're now in a phase of earnings estimate downgrades for at least the second quarter and probably the third quarter of this year in response to the slower GDP growth that we are seeing. And then we've had a degree of monetary tightening in the growth economies, such as China and India. And no one can assume that that's over just yet, not least because the prices of too many commodities, not least foods, remains quite high. So there's certainly a number of headwinds there. Now, to partially offset that, we have the global economic recovery, albeit somewhat slower at this stage. We also have a generally accommodative monetary environment overall. Even where rates have been moving up, they remain negative, in other words, below the prevailing rates of inflation in a number of countries. But that also raises the concern that we may see more tightening. And again, as I said a moment ago, we cannot rule that out. Also, the food price situation is fairly alarming. More on that in a moment. But we weigh it all up here. And after two good years in the stock market, this is a very different environment here right now. It's not a bad year overall, but the easy profits that we had enjoyed in terms of, or the easy gains, I should say, that we had enjoyed in stock markets are much rarer in here today. Is that a signal to do some heavy selling? Well, I don't think so, although I think one should be prepared to see somewhat lower markets over the next few weeks. But I think the only thing that would really cause big problems would be a spike, another spike in crude oil prices. Now, that risk is somewhat higher than I would like it to be. I rated it about a 30% possibility, which means that I think it's more than twice as likely that we saw an important medium-term peak for crude oil last month, and that we will stay in this range or hopefully go lower. And another $10 to $15 off the price of both WTI and Brent crude would be very good for the global economy overall. And that would take a number of commodities down with it, and that would help to reduce commodity price inflation. Now, in a best-case scenario here, we see stock market valuations improve somewhat during this period of seasonal underperformance until we get into the fourth quarter, and provided that crude oil prices have not only not gone higher, but eased a bit further in here, possibly with the help of a somewhat steadier U.S. dollar. Then if we see And well, the big one, and I really don't expect this, but the big one would be if dramatically improved growing conditions helped to make the crop outlook at this stage look less of a concern. And it's still not too late to turn this around. And in some instances, although not with corn plantings at any rate, but the corn that's already in the ground and growing, the yield there could be okay under ideal conditions. But that's a big ask, as they say, at this stage. And but if it did occur, if we did get a better crop information and therefore yields falling back, beg your pardon, therefore prices falling back for these, particularly the grain and bean complex, as the yields from those crops appeared to be rising, that would be good news. So in that ideal scenario, then we could see stock markets doing quite well in the fourth quarter of this year. Now, what about the worst case? Well, the big one, as I've already mentioned, would be another spike in crude oil. I think that also we have a much more serious risk, having rated that as a low risk, no more than 30%. I think there's a very high risk that we will see a higher prices for staple foods, such as corn, wheat, possibly soybeans and rice, and that could create a degree of havoc. You'll recall that during the so-called Arab uprisings, that food prices or food scarcity has often been mentioned as a problem, a major concern, and that's likely, excuse me, that's likely to remain the case for a while longer. And I've said recently that of everything that I look at, but let's stay with the commodities, certainly among the commodities, that the best, most bullish fundamentals are for the grain and bean complex because of the adverse weather conditions and the very much reduced stockpiles, where there are any stockpiles remaining. They're very, very much dwindled. Now that's a bullish outlook here in terms of grain prices moving higher, and unfortunately, that's bearish for just about everything else. So we're still in a tricky environment here overall. And how do we actually play it? Well, you and I can only deal with the reality that markets provide. I don't sell very often in terms of my long-term portfolio when I feel that we're unlikely to see more than a correction in fuller money themes, which I very much like. But I'm not in the least bit tempted to put any new money in the stock markets here today. What I'm hoping for is for a better buying opportunity come September or October. Now, there's a reasonable chance that we actually get that. So that would mean that the positions I have would, for the most part, be pared back somewhat, or there'd be a further drawdown between now and then. But I don't want to be getting out of things. I seldom trade my long-term positions. I expect a degree of volatility. I'm not trying to max every turn the way one will do with a leveraged trade, for instance. And really, what I'm more interested in is getting ready to invest some of my cash holding when valuations are hopefully a little bit more attractive. They're not that unattractive today, but I would expect them to be, or I feel there's a better than an even chance that they'll be more attractive come September or October. And then I would like to invest more in fuller money themes, and I would probably choose some of the higher yielders among them. That'll be a theme that Owen and I will be talking about between now and then. You can be absolutely absolutely certain. So that's where I stand on stock markets. Now, in terms of government bonds, well, you know, the yields have gone down here over the last month and a half or so. It means the prices have gone up, and I'm holding a short position in those treasuries. We still have the QE2 going on, so there's a little bit of a cat and mouse game taking place here between the Fed chairman Ben Bernanke and people like me who feel that the long-term trend for these government bond yields would be for them to move higher. Not immediately, as I've been saying. I think it'll be just choppy in terms of base building for yields and top building for the bond prices. But even if that's the case, we've seen what is, for me, a surprisingly large rally in the in the treasuries overall. In markets, we have to be prepared. We should expect the unexpected a fair amount of the time. But this is a bigger rally than I actually expect. I said it had seen some loss of momentum in the earlier review, and I'm wondering if I should increase my shorts, but I'm not going to do it in all probability before I go on holiday on May 25th through the 6th of June, even though I'm not going to be ignoring the markets, not by any means. I'm too interested in them for that, and I do stay in touch, but I'll be watching them less closely, obviously, than I do when I'm in the office. But I'm wondering at some point, and I think I'll want some clear evidence of a peak in this rally in bonds and come in to add to shorts. I certainly would not remotely consider putting any of my money in any of these long-dated government bonds. And if you want yield, well, I would go for some of the higher yielding shares, and there'll probably be a few more of them, or the yields will be a little bit higher, I'm trying to say, come September or October. And that will create interesting opportunities. Now, what about these precious metals? Again, this is a period of seasonal underperformance here right now. The gold following is much broader and deeper than at any other time, possibly in my lifetime, although we would often say, well, what about the 1970s? But we didn't have China and Mexico, a big buyer of bullion quite recently, and India buying gold, a number of Asian central banks buying gold. That's a change over the last decade, because previously European central banks were leading a sell-off in gold. The underpinnings here are really very good. Now, that said, and I think we've been you know, in tune with this whole secular bull market right from the beginning. But what's interesting is that over that time period, most of the discussions and arguments throughout really the previous decade involved trying to convey to people that we thought that gold was really good. Now, veteran subscribers were always on board on that, and perhaps many of the newer subscribers who I have yet to meet were as well. But you know the point that I'm trying to make, that it was not mainstream, and very few people, as a percentage of all investors, let alone investment institutions, were building up positions in gold. Now, to the different position I find myself in today is that there are more people saying, well, gold should be much higher than it is. And I have a little trouble with that. It is where it is for good reasons concerning supply and demand. And if we try to evaluate these, fundamentally evaluate these precious metals, well, again, we can talk about, as I just have, central banks going from being sellers almost entirely to mainly buyers in here today, and then the broadening out of investment interest in gold. One of our big themes in the last decade was the remonetization of gold in the eyes of investors, and that would take most of the sister precious metals with it. But I see a number of reports, people saying, well, gold should be at $10,000 before we get the new gold standard. Well, I'm sure that gold will get to $10,000, but I don't know if it's going to happen. I certainly don't think it's going to happen in my lifetime, and I don't know if it's going to happen before mid-century. Or perhaps even late century. And if we look at what is usually the fundamental yardstick for evaluating gold, silver, or any other metal, is what's the average cost of production? Now, for gold, it would probably be listeners who know more about this than I am, but I can give you some ballpark figures. But it would probably come in at around $800, be my guess. And then some of the marginal mines, it would be higher, up at $1,200 perhaps. Now, that's so we've got a, you know, we're no longer in a case where this is a big disincentive to producing gold. In other words, the price is high enough to offer quite an attractive incentive. And I'm also aware, of course, that that cost of production is rising constantly due to shortages of skilled workers and so on. But you get the point. And then I heard a mining analyst say about silver the day, you know, how do you evaluate that on a fundamental basis? And his view was that the average cost of production for silver mines came in somewhere between $10 to $12, and that's still that means that the price of silver is still at a hefty premium. Now, I don't think we're going to go back to the cost of production anytime soon. It will happen at some stage as cost of production goes up and interest rates also go up. I mean, my feeling is that we're still in this secular bull market for precious metals. As I've said all along, we've never wavered on that. I think it will end in a big blaze of glory, not just for silver or platinum or palladium, and we've seen some big upward accelerations for all three of those metals over the years, but it'll end in a feeding frenzy for gold bullion. And it's not just wishful thinking. I think there's good historical evidence to back that view, in that all of the big secular bull markets that I can think of do end in these parabolic accelerations. And I would expect that to take place with gold. And when that happens, you know, it'll be rising at $50 to $100 or so a day. Right now, this is a period of seasonal underperformance, as you know. I'm looking for a further consolidation and mean reversion towards the rising 200-day moving averages. Platinum and palladium have already done that, but gold and silver have not. And if the secular bull market is going to remain consistent, and I would back that possibility until we see evidence otherwise, then my best guess is that we would have, and it can be no more than a guess, would be that we would have a bottom in precious metals somewhere in July or August. I don't think it'll be a dramatic bottom. In other words, I don't expect a spike down and then some clear bullish signal. I think it's going to be more ranging, messing about, a little bit of choppy action, some drifting, but to be firming up come late August, and renewed strength in September. That's been the pattern, particularly in the if you followed it closely, you can certainly check all this out on the charts, but that's been the pattern for over 10 years. And the odd number years, which of course 2011 is an odd number a year, have seen some of the best liftoffs in September. So again, is that going to happen once more? Well, no one knows for sure, but as I just said, I'd give that hypothesis the benefit of the doubt until proved otherwise. And if it looks like that's going to happen, I may be fairly aggressive in terms of my own buying, and I think that would be good for gold shares, and it would be good for the metals. And there are lots of different ways to play the gold markets. I mainly use the futures. The more restful way is to do it with the bullion funds. Now, what else to, or the easier to sleep at night way to do it is with the bullion funds, I'm trying to say. Okay, what else here? US dollar. US dollar's been oversold for a while, and it has steadied in here. And if we're getting a commodity correction and some concern over a growth slowdown in the main growth economies, that's a possible recipe for the dollar appreciating a little bit more. And then the whole European concern over the fringe countries is blowing up once again. Lots of talk about Greece, and yields are going through the roof still on those Greek bonds. So again, we know that this problem has certainly not been resolved. It gets papered over a little bit for a while, but that's helping to firm the dollar in here right now and to weaken the euro once again. That'll be good news for the big manufacturers, so the global exporters in Europe. And so I don't think we'll see a resumption of the dollar crisis anytime soon, and hopefully we won't see it for quite a while. I think it would be better for the world to see a somewhat firmer dollar, and that would help to, well, that would be a headwind for commodity markets, and I think it would be much better. I know it would be much better for the global economy if we did see lower commodity prices. It's a good chance that we'll get that, but not I fear for the grain and bean complex. So I'm still looking for some selective shorting opportunities in commodities. Again, it's always a little bit tricky because this is a secular bull market, but commodities are volatile, and secular bull markets in commodities still get some swingeing big pullbacks because there's no escaping the business cycle, and when growth slows, so does the interest in commodities. Not least from speculators. So that's where we find ourselves here today. I think I commented on crude oil, but I think it's more than likely that we will not see another spike anytime soon. There's a bit of wishful thinking on my part, or hopeful thinking, I should say. I do think to get another spike in crude oil, we would have to have another major supply disruption. Now, that's going to occur at some stage, because that's the way of the world, but we hopefully will not see that this year. And if we get the removal of the Gaddafi regime, and I would suspect that that's going to happen, probably sooner rather than later, then that could lead to a resumption of much of Libya's production. I don't know how much damage has been done there, and certainly a fair amount has in the oil installations, but I just think even the prospect of a resumption of Libyan oil flow from or before the end of this year would help to allay fears in the crude oil market and deter a speculative flow of funds into that sector. Well, folks, it may be a more of a struggle. Well, undoubtedly, is more of a struggle to make profits here in the short term. But the silver lining and all that is that these long ranging phases set markets up for some pretty good runs overall, and I don't think this instance will be any different from that. And this is probably a time to for not doing too much. And in terms of trades, keeping them smaller than might have otherwise been the case. And let's wait till we see a really more conducive environment for profit making, both in commodities and equities. And on that note, I wish you all a splendid weekend, and we'll see what Monday brings. All the best.